You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greetings and welcome into the ESPN FC studios. I'm Sebastian Salazar. So much to get to in today's show. The final countdown to the last day of the Premier League officially upon us. Stevie Nicol, Craig Burley will be by to discuss that. Plus, the debate rages on as it concerns Jordan Henderson and his Footballer of the Year honor. But we start the show with an eye looking ahead towards the Champions League. After all, just about 2 weeks away from the start of play in the Champions League. Plenty of enticing matchups. Perhaps the most enticing, Atalanta and PSG, though PSG's chances taking a big potential nosedive. Kylian Mbappe leaving the French Cup final on Friday with an injured right ankle. The club says no ligament damage, a serious ankle sprain. The latest reports he could miss 10 to 15 days. Atalanta PSG scheduled for August 12th. For more reaction, we welcome in Gab Marcotti, Shaka Hislop. Gab. I mean, stop me if you've heard this before. PSG loses a superstar before the meat of the Champions League. It truly feels like deja vu.
Yeah, obviously a different superstar this time. In the past, it was Neymar. This time, it's obviously Kylian Mbappe. Sebi, we'll know more. The club's come out and said that he's going to undergo a whole battery of tests to better pinpoint exactly what his condition is. And we expected to know by Sunday evening, possibly Monday. And then at that point, they'll have a much better idea whether it's going to be viable to go and have him out there and what condition he's going to be in. I can't expect, I mean, if it is 2 weeks, as we've been told, you know, you are right up against it. But, you know, it's going to be a question of him, of how much fitness and how much time he is laid out, I think, more than anything else.
Shaka, 15 days from today, August 9th, August 10th, depending on how you cut it. As we said, the match scheduled for August 12th. Look, as the former player in this panel, is it realistic to expect him to be back and to be functional in that short a time?
Well, if it's just a sprain, and obviously we're still waiting to hear, as Gab points out, how severe that sprain is. Yes, you could have him back. And in all honesty, all other things being even, you do expect Kylian Mbappe to be that affected by 2 weeks out. But that's all other things being equal. We are, and certainly French football, are in this rather unique situation, given the pandemic and the shutdown and Ligue 1 stopping play altogether, but for this French Cup final, and PSG resorting to having to play only friendlies. It throws up a whole different set of challenges for Kylian Mbappe and PSG that nobody anticipated before now. Before this shutdown, I thought PSG had as good a chance this time around of winning the Champions League, as difficult a proposition as that is for anyone. But then no league football and now another superstar injury to contend with. And add to that, Atalanta continuing to play well. I just feel those odds are shortening by the day.
Gab, the plan for PSG was always probably to try and outscore Atalanta. Are they still favorites to do so if they don't have Mbappe in the lineup?
Well, big question. I mean, I think they would still be slight favorites because, ultimately they have a lot more experience at this level. And they are a more talented team. And as we said before, at least as I said before, Sebi, they match up very well against Atalanta. Atalanta are a great side, but some of the things that Paris Saint-Germain does very well in terms of the individuals, in terms of winning their one-on-one battles, that's kind of how Atalanta stops opponents. And where Atalanta have struggled, certainly in the Champions League, has been against very talented individual sides who can beat you through individuals. Atalanta's game plan is very good at wreaking havoc against teams who rely on the collective. Against teams that can rely on individuals, that's when they sometimes run into problems. So, look, obviously Mbappe is going to be a massive loss if indeed he isn't there, but I would still lean PSG.
Looking at the overall picture, Shaka, is there any chance that PSG can win the entire Champions League if they don't get Mbappe back to full strength?
Listen, winning the Champions League is a difficult proposition under the most normal of circumstances, as I mentioned before. Without Kylian Mbappe, I don't see it. I just feel there are far too many other talented teams left in the competition. Okay, defending champions and Liverpool are out, but you've got Real Madrid who've been there, seen it, and done it on countless occasions. And then all of a sudden, they come out of lockdown playing the best football of their season. It's possible, given who they have. If I'm a betting man, I just don't. As I say, probably pre the shutdown, I think PSG were among the favorites, certainly among my favorites. Right now, they're a long way from it.
All right, gentlemen, let's turn our attention to Italy. Some important matches in Serie A on Saturday. Juventus have a chance to lock up their ninth straight title come Sunday, but we did see Inter Milan pick up a 3-0 victory over Genoa. We also saw Napoli beat Sassuolo 2-0. The victory for Inter Milan moves them into second place. Shaka, you had an eye on this one. Alexis Sanchez scores. Lukaku gets a brace. Pretty much all you could ask for if you're Antonio Conte, no?
Yeah, and it was an outstanding performance by Inter Milan. They looked in cruise control, in all honesty. Romelu Lukaku continues to do as he's done all season. Looked very comfortable. Took his goals really well. Held their play. His link play was as good as we've seen it. And this, for me, from an Inter Milan that didn't seem to really get out of second or even third gear at best. If you're Antonio Conte, you're liking what you're seeing right now.
Of course, in typical Antonio Conte fashion, he said second place is the first loser. Gab, you know he's going to want to make changes. Where do you see him making changes in this squad?
Well, certainly Inter have been linked with players in midfield. They already have Ashraf Hakimi for the wingback position. Conte loves his wingbacks. He's very depending of them. Presumably Hakimi fills one slot. They've been heavily linked with Tonali in midfield. I think up front they're going to have an issue. They're going to have to add a body. They're looking to try to hang on to Alexis Sanchez, but that would mean him taking a pay cut in exchange for more years, possibly working something out with Manchester United as well. They're trying to do this already now for the Europa League, and Conte reiterating the importance of that. The Lautaro to Barcelona ship, I suspect, has sailed, frankly, at this stage, because, you know, Barcelona are a bit of a hot mess right now. And so, you know, in that sense, you get another year out of Lautaro. So I think adding some depth in midfield is going to be what he's going to look to do, and possibly a wing back to play opposite Ashraf Hakimi.
Of course, Inter Milan chasing Juventus atop the table. They'll play Sampdoria in 14th place on Sunday with a chance to clinch the league. Look, Shaka, Juventus haven't been all that impressive. Is there any chance when we meet at this time tomorrow they won't be Serie A champions?
No. They've allowed that opportunity to slip by for a few more days. I don't expect it to happen again. Juventus haven't been as fantastic as we expected them to be all season long. But yet again, they get the job done. And as I say, as much as they stumbled in last match day, it's not going to happen twice, not with this Juventus team. I expect them to be celebrating.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Huge day in Serie A on Sunday. Six matches. Roma with a big game for their Europa League chances. And then the potential title decider, Juventus, hosting Sampdoria.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Setting up for a chaotic final day in the Premier League. Manchester United in third place, visiting fifth place Leicester City. United into the Champions League with a win or a draw. Leicester City need a win to guarantee their spot. If they draw, they'll need some help. It would have to come from Wolves, who are facing Chelsea. Chelsea in fourth, they're into the Champions League with a win or a draw, while Wolves are fighting for a Europa League spot. For more, we're joined by Craig Burley and Stevie Nichol. Gentlemen, we know what's at stake. Not just a Champions League spot, but millions and millions of dollars in revenue. Let's put Leicester to a side for just a second. We'll focus on Manchester United and Chelsea and the two managers, really, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Frank Lampard. Stevie, who is under more pressure this weekend to maintain that top four spot?
Oh, dear. Do you know what? That's not an easy question to answer, because they're both under pressure for different reasons. You know, Ollie was so far outside the top four at one stage that even if they didn't, and by some miracle Leicester beat them, even if they didn't make it, if you're Ollie, you can still make an argument. Well, look, you know what? What's happened between this period and this period? We were unlucky in the end, but we've actually got a team on the rise. On the other hand, if you're Frank, nobody gave him a chance at the start of the season that he would get in the top four. I certainly didn't. But the fact that it was so much theirs to throw away, and it seems like they could throw it away. It's possible that if they didn't qualify, then I think it would be a bigger blow to Frank. At the same time, I don't think either of these guys, if they don't make it, are going to get fired. There's no way Ollie's getting fired at United. And I think Frank, from being called a novice to maybe or closely getting them in the Champions League, will be given more time. So I don't think either of them have their jobs on the line. I just think probably Frank would be more disappointed considering the position that they were once in.
Craig, what do you think? Who has more to lose on Sunday?
The clubs. Because, as Stevie pointed out, there's none of these two managers, barring a crazy decision at the moment, are going to lose their jobs off the back of the weekend's results. I don't think that is going to happen. Neither are going to be fired. Solskjaer, for the reason that Stevie mentioned, although the season's over a full season, so, you know, that argument can fall down. It's definitely got better, but it could finish poorly. And Lampard, because of the transfer ban and losing your best player. So, yes, Chelsea had it in their grasp, and if they lose it, I think they'll be more disappointed. But the only people that lose out are the clubs. The clubs lose out with the revenue, particularly off the back of the pandemic, and the lost revenue through that. Smaller transfer budgets, owners have to dip into the pockets even more. So it is going to have a hit on these clubs. But certainly since they came back, Man United have had the easiest running by far. And they're playing a Leicester side that are on their knees, completely on their knees, particularly the defensive aspect of the squad. In contrast to that, Chelsea are playing a Wolves side that are a great, great unit. They're a very compact unit. They play almost the same sort of 11 most weeks. And they've got something to play for as well. So United, it's really in their hands in terms of the state that Leicester are in.
We keep talking about Leicester. It's not very glowing praise. There's a phenomenon on this show, guys, and we just saw it a week ago. Every single person picked Manchester City in the FA Cup semifinal, and Arsenal won. Every single person is counting Leicester out of this top four race. Stevie, is there seriously no hope for the Foxes?
Well, I'd like somebody to give me a reason for hope. And the truth is that there's little scraps. There's a guy called Jamie Vardy who's looking to win that boot title, who can produce something from nothing. After that, I don't see where the goals are coming from. So, listen, football's a strange game. And as you said, City lost in the semi-final to Arsenal. But you have to look at things rationally. You can't just go on by the way, my cat went through the door backwards this morning, so that means that Leicester are going to win. You know, you can't go along those lines. So I can't come up with a reason why Leicester beat Manchester United.
To be fair, Craig, United aren't invincible, right?
No, and they had a lacklustre performance last time out. They also had one against Southampton where, you know, arguably they were lucky to get a point. I mean, they were outplayed at home in the first 20 minutes by Southampton. They were not great in the last game either. You know, Pogba looked off the pace. Defensively, they've got some issues. So if they turn up with that kind of performance again, and listen, I would be surprised, because in that dressing room, you don't have to hit home how big a game is it for these players. But if they do, for some reason, have that lackluster start to the game or performance, then Leicester have one or two players that are available to them that could hurt them. Stevie mentioned them. But when you look at it, the two fullbacks that are being highly thought of, Chilwell and Pereira, are out. Soyuncu serves his final suspension of a three-game suspension. And they're missing James Maddison as well, who's been a great playmaker for them in midfield, on top of one or two other players. So it's the odds are against Leicester, but it's not nigh on impossible. We're not talking about a team in the third or fourth tier of English football here playing Liverpool at the top. We've seen two relatively easy, evenly matched teams all year, but Leicester have got the more problematic, have had the more problematic time in the last few weeks. So the odds are against them, but you know, Brendan Rodgers will need to come up with something that can hurt Manchester United and put them under pressure.
All right, let's turn our attention to the bottom of the table, the relegation scrap. We know Norwich are already going down. Then it's Villa, Watford, Bournemouth. Three teams trying to avoid those two spots. Stevie, who do you think saves themselves on Sunday?
I think Villa save themselves. You know, Bournemouth, for me, if they're going to get out, it's going to have to be by playing football. You know, they're not going to out physical anybody or just fight and scrap and spit and chew for their lives. I just don't see that. And Watford, I mean, you talk about a team in a club in complete and utter disarray. How are they supposed to galvanise themselves under Mullins in such a short space of time? I just don't see it happening. Villa, on the other hand, look as though they've got a bit of confidence about them. They've got a bit of grit. You know, they've tightened up big time defensively. And going into this game, that to me is about as important as anything. Bournemouth can't defend. Watford can't defend. Villa can. And Villa can do you on the break and get a couple of goals.
Craig, Bournemouth have been the little club that could in the Premier League for a while. Maybe stayed up longer than most would have expected. You think this is the end for Bournemouth in the top flight?
I think it could be. I mean, they go to Everton, who are a fickle side. We saw them have a very good performance and victory at Sheffield United, but they're hot and cold, more often cold. You know, Watford have got a trip to Arsenal, where Arsenal, I'm sure Arteta's saying, look, you're playing for your places in the cup final in 7 days' time, or 6 days' time. So they've got something to chew into. And Villa go to West Ham, who have also been in that relegation fight, but have managed to get themselves out. So they go to the poorest side, and the side who are safe. Now, sometimes people say, well, you can relax and play better football when you're safe. But, you know, 90% of these West Ham players, they're on the beach. So Villa have a great opportunity here just to nail it. And I would say Bournemouth maybe have the most difficult, or Watford, sorry, might have the most difficult task going to Arsenal. But I think Bournemouth could be gone. It's going to be a huge blow to them. But, you know, Eddie Howe, they'll have to have a rethink about how they do things if they do go down.
Sunday setting up to be spectacular for sure. Plenty more from the boys on today's edition of Extra Time. They take all your viewer questions. And, of course, if you ever miss Extra Time, you can find it on the ESPN FC YouTube channel. Subscribe today.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Football Writers Association making some headlines on Friday when they announced their Footballer of the Year award. Jordan Henderson claiming the honor, the Liverpool captain, the 12th Liverpool player to win the award. Stevie Nicol on that prestigious list. He rejoins the show, so does Craig Burley. Stevie, I'll start by asking you the question this way. Was Jordan Henderson, Liverpool's best player this season, in your opinion?
I think he was one of the better players. They had 11 players who were exceptional. And you could argue between him, Van Dijk and Mane for who was actually the best. And you couldn't come up with the wrong answer. But the fact that he's won the sports writers, it's not just to do with his ability as a football player. You know, it's not about technique. If it was about technique, then maybe De Bruyne or Mane would have won it. So when somebody like Jordan Henderson wins it, they're winning it because whoever's voting for it understands how important he is to the overall team. You know, because people on the outside will look at this and think of people like De Bruyne and Mane, as I've mentioned, because what they do is spectacular. It looks great on the TV. But the problem people don't understand is that without Jordan Henderson and the like, people like De Bruyne and Mane, they can't get in positions to score the goals that they do. And unfortunately, your armchair viewer, your new supporter, they don't understand how important it is. You know, the Jordan Hendersons of the world stop the opposition from getting to their back four. And then if they actually do get to the back four, then they're there to tidy up for them as well. But then the Jordan Hendersons of this world are getting the ball to give to your Salahs and your Manes and your Firminos in order for them to create and score goals. So Jordan Henderson, I have absolutely no problem getting this award. He's been fantastic. You talk about a real captain. He's lifted the Champions League and now the Premier League in the space of 12 months. So please tell me why he doesn't deserve it, because I can't think of a good reason.
All right, let me be the armchair viewer then here. On this show, I have heard many times the idea that the captain's armband is not that important. So then what do we say to a player like Kevin De Bruyne? You brought him up, Stevie. He leads the league in assists, goals plus assists combined, chances created, and yet he doesn't get player of the year for a guy with 4 goals and 5 assists. So how much is the captain's armband worth, Craig?
In what sense?
I mean, it clearly seems to be the thing that made Jordan Henderson the footballer of the year.
You've just done with the classic armchair.
Well, it's responsibility.
One second, Stevie.
De Bruyne doesn't have responsibility.
One second. You've just rattled out what the classic armchair fan does. You've just prattled on about stats. And this is what...
Goals and assists don't matter?
Listen, let me tell you. Let me explain to you. Let me get this.
Yeah, how about you just listen, Seb, for a minute?
There is much more to playing a football game, reading a game, positioning yourself, organising, on top of all the statistics that are out there. Statistics are there and you can look at them. But there are so many other facets of a player's performance that goes into 90 minutes plus of football. This is where we are in 2020, that people just read out stats, wipe their hands and say, right, he was better than him. This is why it's a nonsense. There are so many other things in a game that goes on that you don't read statistically. When the football writers sit down, and by the way, the football writers are a more prestigious award than the players, because players vote for the mates and all that nonsense, and people they don't like. But when the football writers sit down, they evaluate everything that they see, including the stats. And I don't see the issue with Jordan Henderson here, because what they've looked at is a player who, when he came from Sunderland, was nowhere near the player that he is now. He went into one of the biggest, most pressurised clubs in Europe, and he didn't sink. He swam. One of the greatest coaches of our generation came in. And you know what? He rose to the occasion, Jordan Henderson. His consistency and his leadership have been exemplary. His game has grown exponentially in his time at Liverpool. And yes, there are players with more flair. Yes, there are players with better statistics. Yes, there are players that garnish more headlines. But that's not what it's all about all the time. And here's the big picture. Jordan Henderson deserves that as much as anybody for his effort, his enthusiasm, his desire and his performances and his commitment. These things are not measured by statistics. And that's why the armchair viewer sits back sometimes or goes on Twitter and says, I don't understand this. Because here's two sets of stats, and A is better than B. And I've just explained to you, and I hope you understand, that's why a lot of the times, unless you're just talking about an out-and-out goal scoring, it's a nonsense.
All right, gentlemen, we will leave it there for now. If you ever miss an edition of ESPN FC, you can always download the podcast, available every day online.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, that's all the time for this edition of ESPN FC. Thanks to Shaka, Gab, Stevie, and Craig as well. And don't forget, don't miss tomorrow's show. Full reaction to the finale of the Premier League. Hey there, folks. Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC's Extra Time. We got Craig Burley, we've got Stevie Nicol, and we have your
question. Can you say that a bit quicker?
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to this edition of ESPN.
Have you ever thought about changing your intro? You know, freshen it up a bit?
Yeah, I know. Getting old. Yeah.
It's a bit tedious that now, isn't it?
When I don't do
that's
it,
that's why we have a go.
You complain.
We're trying to brighten things up.
They complain.
Well, I don't like you doing it. To be honest, it's just because it's a bit tedious. Okay. I mean, it's like.
Okay. Thanks for your feedback. I'll
had enough of it, right?
I'll work it into my yearly evaluation.
Hey, I'll do what I always do.
Oh, I work with children, adult children, but children nonetheless. Okay.
Before you get the question, don't read me any stats out. All right. You started me out during
the show. Big chances created. Kevin De Bruyne led the Premier League in big chances created.
There he is. Old eyeballs. He's a start. That's it.
What baller are they?
Read the question.
Despite
better. Tell him what you told him, Craig. Tell him what you told him earlier. About is it a start for Henderson? Now tell him that one.
Oh yeah, we'll just have that little discussion for those that watched the show. If you didn't watch the show, I'm not explaining it. It's too long. But you know, all the stats, when Andy Robertson or Trent Alexander goes forward, is there a stat that tells you? There's a positional graph, I know.
Called a heat map.
Heat maps and all that. Mm-hmm. But you know, Jordan Henderson goes over, positions himself brilliantly like a defensive midfielder or an all-round midfielder should. And he positions himself for the counter-attack and he mops up anything that comes out and he covers the full-back and he gives it to Van Dijk and Liverpool start the move again. And then he organises and he sits in for Van... Is there anything for that? Did Kevin De Bruyne do that when Mendy went forward or Kyle Walker?
That's why they pay you guys the big bucks. Such nuanced analysis, you know? The armchair analyst would never know what to say. I would never know that Kevin De Bruyne was the best player in the league. Mm-hmm. Okay, no problem. We will do the questions. Now, despite better results under a similar time period, Mourinho gets more pressure and criticism than Arteta, says the question. Has Spurs become a bigger club with higher expectations than Arsenal? Craig?
Despite similar results, okay, well, Tottenham were aside, whether you agree they're a big enough squad or it's a more or less the same squad that was challenging for a league title a couple of years ago until late on and got to a Champions League final. Arsenal are a club that have been really struggling. They were 10th when Arteta took over, and he's got them to an FA Cup final. Plus the fact Mourinho comes in. Arteta comes in as his first managerial job, straight out of coaching at Man City, into management. Tough job. Mourinho comes with the, I'm the special one. I've won everything in the game, which he has, and I get results. So clearly his CV would suggest that he's going to get better results than Mikel Arteta, who's just learning the whole management game.
Stevie, Arsenal or Spurs, who has bigger expectations next year?
Oh, Spurs. Spurs. Listen, Arsenal have been struggling for what? Well, basically, they've been going down the hill for the last, 10 years. It's just got steadily worse and worse. Tottenham were in the Champions League final pretty much this time last year. And as Craig says, one of the problems that when you bring Mourinho into your club is that he puts himself and the club in a position where they're going to be doing great things. And so before a ball's even kicked, he's and he will tell you he doesn't promise anything, but his whole manner and the things he comes out with point to that. You know, coming out with, I love these players, I wanted some of these players when I was at other clubs. You know, all kind of comments like that tells you, he's just trying to tell you how great everything is and how he is and how they are. And then when you turn around and you don't get results and your performances are rotten, now sometimes you can lose games, but when you're losing games and you're rotten, and you're Mourinho, and you're Tottenham, after being in the Champions League final, and guess what? Pressure comes with it.
Stevie, next question for you, your area of expertise. Alphonso Davies or Andy Robertson, who occupied the left-back position if you were to make a team of the season?
Well, right now, Andy Robertson. He 99 times out of 100 is in the absolutely correct spot defensively and is making great decisions going forward with the ball. You know, Alphonso Davies still has a lot to learn, in my opinion, about the defensive side of the game. He has gotten away with some bad starting positions because he is so quick. But right now, Andy Robertson is the more rounded player, no question, both going forward and defending.
Craig, you without your Liverpool goggles, you think it's Robertson over Davies?
I wouldn't say anything different to Stevie. I think Davies is clearly an excellent player, but he's a winger being converted to a fullback. So the defensive aspect, as Stevie pointed out, is something that he's learning almost week by week, game by game, training session by training session. Robertson's come on leaps and bounds. I mean, it's just been an incredible turnaround from the player who was relegated with Hull. And he's a natural fullback, so you don't negate really anything going forward with Andy Robertson at the moment, but you get a natural fullback at the other end. So Davies is a great player, but he's got a bit to go because Robertson has set the bar particularly high.
Guys, the Premier League wraps up on Sunday. What's the best last game of the season that either of you have played in? Sean says he reckons he knows what Stevie will say. Stevie, this has come up a lot on Extra Time and even on the show.
The best last game of the season.
Yep.
Well, I would assume that if it's the best last game, then it'd have to be one you won, right?
Yeah, maybe this was the right? Sean who wrote this in was probably thinking of the one you discussed the most. Yeah, but yeah, what was your best memory of the last day of the season?
Well, he should have said what's the worst then, and the worst is is losing to Arsenal at Anfield, and the last kick of the game in the last day of the season. That's clear, that's easy. But that's the loss. That's the worst, sorry. Not the best.
Do you have a best?
Not really. I guess the FA Cup final in 86 would be up there when we did the double. We beat Everton in the final, last game of the season. I think that'll do nicely.
Craig, your best last game of the season memory?
Well, it wouldn't be the 94 FA Cup final because we lost 4-0 to Man United. But and Chelsea weren't going for titles back in that day. They were going for European places. So there was no memorable last days in the league, but it would be Celtic. It would be the last day of the 98 season where the title went to the last day, vying with it for Rangers, and we got over the line with a 2-0 win. So if we'd drawn that game or lost the game, we'd lost the title and the whole season had gone down the pan. So that was, yeah, that would be my favourite last day in the up in Scotland.
I don't know if you guys have seen the video. It's making its way around social media. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, pretty cool.
Well, one second. Well, Stevie's officially off Twitter full time, and I've deleted my app short term just to give myself a break.
So how would I know?
I don't know where you're going with this. Okay. None of us have seen it.
So there, Zlatan Ibrahimovic came out with this video. It's kind of like a hype video where he's basically saying he's not done. And the question leads us down that road. Thoughts on Zlatan's comments that he is just warming up. How many more years do you believe he has at the highest level? Stevie?
By the way, who other than you, who listens to Zlatan these days?
Who listens to Zlatan? Everybody listens to Zlatan all the time. I wish he was back in Major League Soccer.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. You want to listen to a guy who at the beginning of the season, halfway through the season, said if he had started with Milan at the beginning of the season, they would have won Serie A. You're going to listen to a guy that talks like that?
I mean, we got to take everything he says with a grain of salt, know that. It's Zlatan. Come on.
So why are you listening then if some of it's or most of it's nonsense?
So you're betting against
on the
Zlatan.
Odd chance
you say he is done. Stevie
Nicol
ends Zlatan's career. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, don't you start the Dan Thomas part of making up stuff and try to stick words in people's mouths. I get enough of that for him. You don't need to start it.
Well, if
your fault is Zlatan talks a lot of nonsense most of the time.
I don't think he's finished, but clearly he's, what is he? I'm guessing now, 37?
38, I think he's about to turn 38 if he hasn't just recently.
Not a bad guess. So, he's not finished, but if he wants to score a goal a game, he knows where to go.
He is 38 as of right now. All right, Craig, have you ever scored a bicycle kick or...
Hey, by the way.
Yeah. Go ahead, Stevie. I wasn't reading the question.
No, let's get one thing straight. Zlatan has been a fantastic player. He's still a good player. But when he opens his mouth, really, we're not listening to it. Okay?
Okay, all right.
Okay, you can move on now.
Yeah, great.
There are plenty of people who say that, but us. Well, there you go. Who cares?
Craig, have you ever scored a bicycle kick or scorpion kick in training or in a match?
No. One of the reasons is because I weren't very good at it. And the second one is when I tried to do something fancy in training many years ago, I knocked my teeth out. So I stay away from that. I leave it to other people. I mean, I've kneed myself in the mouth once in my life, and that's enough. Trust me. Not doing it again.
Stevie, where was the bicycle kick in your training repertoire?
Make that six no's, because I'm no and no as well.
All right, Frank McManaman.
Hey, I want to break my neck for what?
Frank asked, last question here. How were your last games at your respective clubs celebrated? Did you get a standing ovation or did you receive a special award? Stevie, we'll start with you here.
Well, I was playing for the Boston Bulldogs in the old A-League at Charleston Battery. And there's a group of people behind the goal who were clearly English. And I got the very, very resounding rendition of Who Ate All the Pies?
All right, the Charleston Battery. That was.
And I actually caught up with them in the bar. I actually caught up in the bar with them after the game because they came up and started asking for me autograph. They had this lovely bar in Charleston where there's all kinds of football.
Yes.
Memorabilia. I'm sure the Charleston Battery, I'm sure the pub's still there. Oh my goodness. Well, they had stuff like one of the turnstiles from Anfield, things like that, and they incorporate it in the bar. It's a fantastic place. If you can get there, go. Anyway, this group of English lads come up and gave it the old, you're brilliant and all that, get your autograph. And I went, by the way, I says, it was you lot that were singing Who Ate All the Pies, wasn't it? And they just kind of went like, well, yeah. I said, I don't worry about it. They probably went wrong.
Stevie, you're not wrong about that bar. I think it's called the Three Lions Pub there in the stadium. But the Battery don't play there anymore. They've moved. So that bar and all that memorabilia is truly amazing. Somebody should make a museum out of it. Craig, what about your
final farewell? I didn't get a chance because I didn't know I was leaving Chelsea when the season finished. But as it transpired, I made the transfer in pre-season. So that came about quite quickly. Celtic was the same. I was off and running to Derby before I knew it with Jim Smith. So I didn't know. Although the Celtic fans would have been absolutely fine with me at the time. I mean, they didn't want me to go. They don't want me anywhere near the place now. But the one was at the end, right at the end, when I went for an ill-fated couple of months to Walsall, right? And I just never went back because... Honestly, I think I had a month left in my contract towards the end of the season, and they asked me, my knee was like a balloon, and they asked me to take an injection to suck all the fluid out my knee joint so that I could play at Gillingham away. And I was like, I'll do that if it's the FA Cup final, but Gillingham away in a bank holiday Monday, I'm not coming back. And I drove back to my house, I never went back again. I thought, sod that, the game's up. I mean, getting a big needle in your knee to take the fluid out to play Gillingham away. I'm sorry, that ain't happening. No chance.
Craig, I've studied your Wikipedia page many times. I've always wondered about the Walsall entry and what happened there. I guess we now...
Well, yeah, I had a little... Colin Lee asked me to go to Walsall to add a bit of experience to that squad. Unfortunately, Colin got sacked not too long after I was in. Nice fella. And then Paul Merson took over. Paul, a lovely guy, but you know, Paul had his own issues. You know, I mean, never mind trying to manage 25 guys. So it was one of those things. I went there just to keep playing for a bit, but as you drop down the division, it's tough. And my heart wasn't in it. And when your heart's not in it, it's never the same.
Gentlemen, we will leave it there for today. I know both of your hearts will be in tomorrow's work Sunday. What a day in the Premier League. Our guys will be all over it. Make sure to watch tomorrow's edition of ESPN FC.
Stat free.